Chapter 73. Another renovation. I'd been back in Australia for 8 months, after a 3-year stay in northern Scotland, where I'd been living with a group of folk endeavouring to live in harmony with nature and each other. Leaving the foundation had been surprisingly painless, and I was particularly glad to be beyond the reach of the bleak Scottish weather. In early 1988, I bought a small wooden Queenslander cottage, in need of a top-to-toe renovation. This would be my 4th complete house renovation. I'd learned a lot from the first 3, and this time I knew exactly what I wanted to achieve, and how to achieve it. The house was in the historic Caledonian Estate, an early residential subdivision of Toowoomba. Conscious of the historical significance of the area, I was determined to restore the architectural character of the building when viewed from the street, with a single-story extension at the rear. To do this, I needed a builder, as my renovation plans were way beyond my physical or technical capabilities. A friend came to the rescue. She introduced me to her builder, who had a network of tradie mates, all with full-time jobs, but prepared to work on weekends for cash. Thus, as soon as the Toowoomba City Council approved my plans, work could begin. My renovation design included 3 sets of French doors, opening off the kitchen-dining-living space, out onto a north-facing deck. I knew the cost of new doors would be prohibitive, and the chance of sourcing 3 matching sets second-hand was pie in the sky. Undaunted, I began my search at the local demolition yard, where to my utter amazement, I found exactly what I wanted. I was over the moon. In time, 3 external wall openings would be made to fit these doors. Monday through Friday I worked on the house. I began by demolishing the outbuildings and stripping the kitchen. On weekends the builder and his crew did the construction work. Before leaving on Sunday afternoon, they'd make sure the house was secure because I was living in it, even though the amenities were extremely basic. Very early in the piece, I tackled a major project, to restore all 7 double-hung timber windows that had withstood 60 years of wear and tear. I began by removing the window frames, then chipping out the old putty, before burning off countless layers of paint, back to timber, before sanding, priming, undercoating, reglazing if necessary, and finally applying 2 coats of paint to the external surfaces. Each set of windows took me a week from start to finish. Whilst each set was removed, the cold winter wind gusted in, adding to the discomfort of the already basic living conditions with no hot water. To remedy this, I took a residential housemistress job at my old school. The job was terrible, but the hot water was plentiful. I continued to renovate during the day and then returned to the school at night to enjoy long hot showers and a warm bed. But as soon as a hot water system was installed at the house, I quit. I'd arrived back in Toowoomba with 2 suitcases, 2 Elma sewing machines, 2 Persian carpets and my dowry, a full set of Rhenaware saucepans. As I'd nothing in the way of furniture, generous friends helped out. I was given 2 single beds, a gas camping stove and 4 bentwood chairs. Fortunately, the property came with a number of very useful items, a wardrobe, a huge crowbar and a selection of gardening equipment. My first splurge was an upside-down fridge for the dream kitchen, yet to materialize. The kitchen cupboards would be designed around the fridge. For safekeeping, I put it in a bedroom, while away from the building action. The renovations continued day in and day out for many months. One afternoon, I met a plump woman at my front gate. She was the Liberal Party candidate for Toowoomba North. As the Queensland state election was only weeks away, she was on the hustings. Whilst chatting, we established common ground, the New Guinea Highlands. As she was leaving, she said, "I'm sure we'll meet again." A prophetic statement as she later became my boss. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Renovation costs were rising, confirming my belief that renovations always take twice as long and cost twice as much as originally anticipated. Fortunately, I had a valuable asset that I was reluctantly prepared to liquidate. For my 21st birthday, my adopted aunt offered me a Danila Vasiliev painting from her stash, and I chose one from his Fitzroy, Melbourne, series. I found a buyer, the Melbourne-based art collector and academic, who'd written his biography. Whilst I was in Scotland, I'd left the painting at the Wollongong Art Gallery for safekeeping. I picked it up on my way through to Melbourne, where I delivered it, and returned to Toowoomba with more than enough cash to complete the renovations. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I spent countless hours preparing the V-jointed timber walls and ceilings for a fresh coat of paint. This involved a thorough sanding, then a wash down with sugar soap, and, lastly, filling the cracks between the boards with no more gaps. Preparation complete, I was now ready for paint. I headed down to the paint shop with my heart set on a warm buttermilk color, and when the time came, something unexplainably strange happened whilst I was there. It seems the house had its own ideas, so, instead of buttermilk, I came home with 10 liters of barely pink. And the walls and ceilings have been barely pink ever since. But once again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Towards the end of the renovation, I had an accident, an awkward jump off a trestle. The result was serious tendon and ligament damage in my left shoulder, a disastrous injury for a left-hander, midway through a major renovation. Determined, I kept working, pushing through the pain, but when I completely lost the use of my left arm, I was admitted to the base hospital and put in traction. On the ward, I made the mistake of ticking the vegetarian box on the hospital meal sheet, and as a result, I was served textured vegetable protein twice a day, for 10 days. It was more than I could stand, so I discharged myself and Meals on Wheels filled the gap. Right out of alternatives, and against my better judgment, I phoned my mother, who offered to come to Toowoomba to help out. But she didn't stay long, as the strain was too much for both of us. Whilst my shoulder slowly healed, I was approached by the live wire operator of the Spinning Parlour, a retail outlet that stocked textile materials and equipment of all kinds, for craft enthusiasts across the region. She suggested I run a 6-week, one night a week class at her shop. I jumped at the chance, as working with her was always fun. Also, it was an opportunity to focus on something other than renovating. With the renovation almost complete, I began thinking about a job. I was open to either paid or unpaid work, because I was beginning to suffer the negative effects of isolation. I remembered my chance meeting with the woman who was pre-selected to stand for Toowoomba North. Her political aspirations unfulfilled, she continued in her position as CEO of the Kath Dixon Centre, a highly respected organisation offering quality child care. I telephoned the centre and was invited in for a chat. In the course of the conversation, I was told that a volunteer was needed in the toy library, which, I was told, was overseen by Miss Kathleen Dixon, founder of the centre. Next, I was taken to meet Kath, after which I agreed to work with her for 2 afternoons a week. Some months later, it was suggested I apply for a recently vacated family daycare coordinator position, and my application was successful. I don't know how I got the job because I had no early childhood experience, nor nursing training, nor was I a mother. Instead, I brought with me 6 years of arts training and a teaching qualification. Later, I discovered it was my art skills they wanted. Everyone seemed quite confident that I'd quickly master the intricacies of coordinating, and they were right. My new job was a completely unexpected change of direction in my professional life. I knew the job would provide yet another series of challenges, and I was excited at the prospect of exploring a new career path. Time would tell where a position of this kind would lead. On reflection. The renovation. This was my fourth major house renovation. Unlike the others, It was not a nest-making exercise involving a partner. This time, I was renovating around my own needs, as a single woman. The Kath Dixon Center. As I had no younger siblings, nieces, nephews, or cousins, I knew nothing about children. In fact, I was quite afraid of them, not knowing how to relate. In hindsight, I realized that my job gave me the opportunity to discover that children are small people. I loved my job, and likened it to falling into a soft pink cloud each day. I particularly enjoyed the freedom and the variety, which included telephone work, visiting daycare providers and the children in their care, updating files, interviewing prospective parents and children, then matching their care needs with an appropriate care provider. I was grateful for the regular income that came from working a 9-day fortnight. I was able to live well, and gradually complete the renovations. And I was also able to save enough for a return ticket to Buenos Aires, Argentina, to visit a woman I'd met in Scotland. Facts. Danila Vasilyev was a Russian emigre painter, and my adopted aunt's partner between 1937 and 1944. She had many of his oil paintings hanging on the walls of her Sydney house. In addition, she had wads of his paintings on butcher's paper, stored flat in the bottom of cupboards and under beds. We assume that Vasilyev gave her these artworks when they split up in 1944.